This morning, and Lord willing, it'll be a blessing to you as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, and I am encouraged as we study and read through the book of Daniel. I'm not preaching from the book of Daniel, or through the book of Daniel, I should say, but I know I did enjoy last week preaching from Daniel, and again this week, and what a wonderful book, great truth that is contained therein. And Daniel chapter number 2 is going to be our text this morning, verses 1 through 23. And I've titled the message, if you're taking notes, Our God Answers Prayer. Our God Answers Prayer. There's been a call to prayer. We've asked as we have gathered together on Monday through Friday, and we've had these prayer meetings, and we've encouraged you to pray and to seek the face of God. And we know that there needs to be a turn to God in a time such as this with the pandemic, the global impact of that which is taking place. As I've mentioned many times over the last 10 days or so, that our God is able to work in such a way that He helps us to have a keen awareness of our need for Him. And there are times and situations in our lives in which He works in such a way that we recognize that it's completely beyond our ability and we need God. Oh, that we'd recognize every day of our lives that we need God. Unfortunately, there are times when we go through life and we just kind of go along and do things in our own power, our own strength, and our own abilities, and leaning on our own wisdom and what have you. But we find that the truth of God's Word is that we need God every second of every minute of every hour. And He said this in John 15, that without Me ye can do nothing. And sometimes we have a hard time really accepting the truth of that statement and that passage. But as God's people, we must recognize the need to go to God in prayer. I am confident, as I've shared with you already, the title of our message this morning, Our God Answers Prayer. I am confident that many of us would agree wholeheartedly with that statement. Our God answers prayer. We believe it. We read about it in the Word of God. We've experienced it in our own lives. We proclaim this truth that our God answers prayer. I'm so thankful that we have the truth of God's Word, that He hears and He answers prayer. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to really give you an overview of really the setting, if you will. The first 13 verses of Daniel 2 provide for us a record of the setting of what's taking place and the situation in which Daniel would find himself in. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, it says this, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. And my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. I want to pause there just for a moment as we go through these first several verses by way of introduction and deal with the scene, the setting, and what's taking place. And you find the Bible gives us the timeline that it's the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. He's the king of Babylon. Of course, we know from looking at the beginning of this book, Daniel, that there's already been a portion of those that have been carried captive into Babylon from Judah during the captivity. We find here that the Bible tells us that he dreamed dreams. And one particular dream that he dreamed here in the text of Scripture, the Bible says that it troubled his spirit. It tells us that his sleep broke from him. In other words, he could not have rest. And so what does he do? He calls all of these folks together. The Bible tells us that he made commandment that the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, I mean, he pulls out all stops. He brings all of these folks in and he tells them, I've dreamed a dream. And I want you to give me the interpretation. We find that they stand before the king and they understand the situation, they understand the circumstance, and Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, I want you to interpret this dream for me. And they stand and they say, tell us your dream and we'll give you the interpretation. This would be a normal occurrence. This would be something that would they would be aware of and something that they had experienced in their lives where someone would tell them a dream and they would give some sort of an interpretation. invitation, these that have been gathered. But we find that the king gives an answer in verse number 5. And notice what he says. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." As we notice in this, still by way of introduction, and notice the scene and the setting and what's taking place, we find that there's this command that comes from Nebuchadnezzar. And these Chaldeans, these wise men, the astrologers and magicians and sorcerers that are gathered together, they say, "Tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation." But Nebuchadnezzar says, "Here's the problem. The thing is gone from me. I do not remember. I have no recollection of that which I've dreamed. And so here's what you need to do. You need to tell me the dream and the interpretation." And we find that he, in issuing this command, he lets them know what the consequences would be. He tells them if they are not able to tell him the dream and the interpretation, that they would be cut in pieces, that their houses would be made a dunghill. I mean, the stakes are high. This is a serious situation. He tells them, but if you do, if you tell me, in verse number 6, if you tell me the dream, if you tell me the interpretation, you're going to receive gifts and rewards and great honor. Now, can you imagine these guys that are gathered together, these astrologers and sorcerers and wise men and the magicians, the Chaldeans, all of these group, this group of people that are gathered together, and we find that as the king makes this this command, as he shares with them in this demand of an interpretation, not only tell me the dream, but give me the interpretation, we find that these that were gathered are confused. In verse number 7, they answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." They go back to their first response. They have been accustomed to this situation where I'm given a dream, and then I provide you with the interpretation, and we find that they say to the king, no, tell us the dream, and then we'll show you the interpretation. The king then says in verse number 8, "I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me." But notice the tone, if you will, of Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 9. He says, "But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans, now there's a kind of a discussion going back and forth between Nebuchadnezzar and these that have been gathered together for the purpose of revealing to him the dream and the interpretation. And they answer in verse number 10, and they say this, they say, "There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asked such thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. There is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Notice what they're saying in verses 10 and 11. They make the statement very clearly in verse number 10. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. They tell the king that what he is asking is so unusual and so out of the ordinary that this thing is just not possible. There's no one that can show you this. There's no man. And by the way, King Nebuchadnezzar, you understand that no king, no lord, no ruler has ever asked such a thing. Basically, King Nebuchadnezzar, what you're asking is unreasonable. It's never happened before. I mean, this is beyond our dealings and beyond that which we have experienced. And we find that the king is angry. In verse number 12, it says, "For this cause," for the response that he received from these that are gathered, according to verse number 2, the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, because of the dialogue that takes place, because of their inability to show him the dream and the interpretation, the Bible tells us that he's angry. Notice in verse 12, For this cause the king was angry and very furious. And notice what it says, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. It's a problem. We find that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has great power, and we see those things that we understand historically from Nebuchadnezzar, and looking through the book of Daniel, other portions of scriptures you find in the book of Jeremiah, the book of 2 Chronicles, you begin to see the power and might of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and we find that he's now issued this command, this decree, if you will, that all the wise men, notice he says that he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And as the decree went forth, according to verse number 13, it says the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Notice verse 13, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Up to this point in the dialogue and what we're seeing as far as a setting, the scene that is being set for us here in the beginning chapter, or the beginning verses of chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, we find that Daniel and his three friends are not present with all that's taken place, all that we've reviewed up to this point. And we find that really, until verse number 13, when they go to seek Daniel, he's unaware of even what's taking place in the realm of the kingdom. He has no knowledge of that which is taking place. We find that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed that dream, and he gathered and commanded all of those folks to gather, and he says, "Give me an interpretation." "Sure, we'll give you an interpretation. Give us the dream. Tell us what your dream was, Nebuchadnezzar, and we'll provide an interpretation." See, herein lies the problem. The thing is gone from me. I cannot share with you the dream, and so what you have to do is give me the dream and the interpretation. It's unusual what you're asking. It's something that is beyond our ability. No one has asked such a thing. And they go to seek for Daniel. And according to verse number 14, we find that Daniel is met by this one that comes. The Bible says that he's the captain of the king's guard, Arioch, and he comes and he meets Daniel to take Daniel. Where is he taking Daniel? To be slain. Remember what the king said when he issued the command in this unusual situation with regard to giving me the dream and the interpretation. He says to them that if you do not do this thing, you'll be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. If you do, you'll receive gifts and rewards and great honor. Because of the answer of these Chaldeans in verses 10 and 11, he's angry, Nebuchadnezzar is angry and furious, and he issues a command. And that's where we find Daniel and his three friends in this text of Scripture. We see that the scene has been set. We understand by looking at just very quickly these first 13 verses of Daniel 2, we find what Daniel is going to experience. We find the situation that he's going to endure. We find the circumstances in which he finds himself. Can I tell you that at times in our lives, the circumstances are beyond our control? The circumstances of life are something that I do not have control over, something that I must deal with, and we find that we keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ because He is in control of all things, and He has a purpose and a plan. I know this morning that we skipped singing our theme song, "Looking Unto Jesus," and that's my fault because of all of the technical things that we're dealing with there with the iPad and the PowerPoint, but we've been singing it all year long. "I'm looking unto Jesus." We find that it's our theme from the book of Hebrews and how important it is that we as God's people keep our eyes upon the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am. This world will disappoint you. This world will cause you to have confusion and chaos and turmoil and restlessness and worry and fear. But we find that we have our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. There's a calm assurance. There's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because our eyes are on Jesus. Notice that Daniel finds himself in this situation. And I want you to, if you're taking notes this morning, notice how Daniel responds. I wonder this morning, in a circumstance such as this, and we've spent these moments just helping us to set the scene and understand what's taking place, I wonder how it is that we'd respond. I wonder, in verse number 13, when the Bible says the decree went forth and that the wise men should be slain, that they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. I wonder when they arrived at Daniel's place of living, they gave him the information. I wonder how we would respond if we were Daniel. I wonder how we'd respond in such a situation. And I want you to notice how Daniel responds. Number one, he responds with wisdom. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." Now, again, put yourself in the shoes of Daniel. You find yourself in that place. I mean, you have no knowledge of all that's taking place, and you're kind of sheltered from it, if you will, and you find that you're going about whatever it is that you're going about on that particular day, and all of a sudden, Arioch shows up at your door, and he shows up for the purpose of taking you and your friends to kill you, to slay you. He responds with wisdom. Can I tell you that that wisdom reveals to me that Daniel had a consistent, faithful walk with God? See, it wasn't a moment in which Daniel could say, "Hold on, let me go and deal with this. Let me go and begin to have a walk with God." No, he already had a walk with God. We find that wisdom comes from God, that our God is the all-wise God, that he is omniscient, that he has all wisdom. And we find that he says that he would give us wisdom. We have the blessing of having the truth of James 1 in verse number 5, where the Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not." We find that God gives wisdom to his people. We find in the book of Proverbs and how many references that we have with regard to wisdom in that book of the Bible. And we find that it was Solomon that when the Lord appears to him after he's going to become the king of Israel and of course following the reign of his father David, that God appears and says, "What is it that I could give you?" And we find that it was Solomon that requested wisdom. He said, "How am I going to lead these people?" He needed wisdom. See, Daniel was able to respond and answer Arioch in this moment with counsel and wisdom, not because he just simply decided that on that moment he was going to seek God. No, he had been regularly seeking the face of God. He had a consistent walk with God. We dealt with that last week in Daniel 6. I want you to notice that not only did he respond with wisdom, but I want you to notice that he responded with confidence. Notice as we continue in verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, notice what he says, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" You see that Daniel is inquiring of Arioch, what's going on? And then it says at the end of verse number 15, "Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel." And here's where we see the confidence of Daniel in verse 16. "Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation." I see in Daniel a level of confidence. I see in Daniel no worry, no fretting, no fear. I believe that Daniel in this circumstance, in this situation that he finds himself, remember it just tells us in verse number 15, "Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel," when Daniel says, "Hey, Arioch, why is the decree so hasty from the king?" We find that this thing is made known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and notice what it says, and that he would show the king the interpretation. When I speak about the confidence of Daniel, I want you to understand that this is not self-confidence. This is confidence in his God. This is confidence that Daniel has in what God is able to do. And that's where we find our confidence. Listen, our confidence is not in our own selves, our own power, our own abilities, our own flesh. No, the arm of flesh will fail you. We find that even as I mentioned a moment ago, that we need God. Without me, you can do nothing, according to John 15. It's interesting that Paul made this statement as he's speaking to the church in Corinth in the second book that he writes to them in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And he's speaking to them and he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 5. See, Daniel had confidence in what God could do. I wonder if you have confidence in what God is able to do. I mean, think about the circumstances that Daniel's facing. Think about the scene as we've laid it out for you this morning in Daniel chapter 2, and you find that Arioch arrives at the door of Daniel, and the decree from Nebuchadnezzar has already been given that all of the wise men would be killed, would be slain. Daniel responds with wisdom. He responds with confidence. Again, no self-confidence, but reliance and confident in what God is able to do. He says that he would show the king the interpretation. But I want you to notice, not only does he respond with wisdom and confidence, but he responds with prayer. Oh, how important this is. We find that immediately, I mean, the first response, not the last resort, not the, what do we do now? Well, I think maybe we should pray about it. No, the immediate response of Daniel is to seek the face of God through prayer. In verse 16, the Bible tells us about his confidence that he went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then notice in verse 17, then Daniel went to his house. What does he do? The Bible tells us that he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. We know these guys. This is their name. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar had changed their names, and we speak of them from Daniel chapter number 3 as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we find that their given names are here, and Daniel sharing those names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He comes to his house, he makes the thing known to them, and then notice in verse 18, there's a prayer meeting that takes place, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. You know what they do? They go to God in prayer. Daniel leads, he and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, they go and they seek the face of God. We find that this response for Daniel, I believe, was a natural response. Daniel had spent time in prayer. Daniel had known that God answers prayer. We shared that as our title this morning, Our God Answers Prayer. This morning, if we really believe that our God answers prayer, then when we're faced with circumstances and situations, when we're dealing with life as it happens, we immediately, naturally are going to go to God in prayer. Why? Because we believe that He answers prayer. This is beyond my control. I don't know the answer to the situation. Daniel does not know the answer to the situation, but he knows that God is omniscient, that God knows all things, and that God hears and answers prayer. And we find that he immediately goes to his friends and he says that they need to desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Notice that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The stakes were high. Can you imagine? The stakes were high. There was ever a time in which Daniel needed the Lord to answer urgently. We find that it was in this time. We'll look at a few verses with regard to that in just a moment. But when we think about the response of Daniel and we think about the way in which he sought the face of God in prayer, we know that as we read Daniel chapter number 9, that Daniel had some understanding with regard to the prophet Jeremiah and his prophecies. In fact, if you look in Daniel chapter number 9, just briefly, I will make some mention to this passage of Scripture this evening as well, but we find that Daniel mentions in verse number 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And so we understand, as we look at the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, we understand the period of time in which Jeremiah was serving as prophet to the nation of Judah. It was during the 13th year of the king Josiah that Jeremiah begins to prophesy, and he prophesies all the way through the captivity, is what we're told. Historically, we see that to be accurate. We find that as God has given us that timeline with regard to the prophecies of Jeremiah, and we understand Daniel chapter number 9, that Jeremiah read these books, understanding the prophecies of Jeremiah, he understood the captivity of 70 years, and then a remnant would return. But I wonder this morning, as we think about the knowledge that that Daniel had with regard to the prophecies of Jeremiah, I wonder if he had the knowledge of these things as well. Turn to the book of Jeremiah quickly, if you will, just a few books back in your Bible. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. I want you to notice, of course, we're familiar with that wonderful promise in chapter 33. I'll make reference to that here in just a moment. But I wonder this morning, when Daniel, not only had he experienced in his own life that God answers prayer, not only was he a man of prayer, we see that really in Daniel chapter number 1, and we find that he's a man that sought the face of God. And we find here in Jeremiah chapter number 29, in verse number 12, it says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Chapter 33 and verse number 3, we're familiar with the prayer promise there where the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." See, Daniel was a man that understood the power of prayer. Daniel was a man that understood that God hears and answers prayer. And we find that the circumstance in which Daniel found himself in, and we find that this was a very serious, the stakes were high with regard to Daniel and his friends and all that was taking place. And we find that Daniel responds with wisdom, with confidence, and he responds in prayer. I wonder, has the current circumstance in your life driven you to your knees? Has it caused you to face the Lord, to enter even more regularly into your prayer closet and seek the face of God, knowing that He hears and answers prayer? The psalmist said this in Psalm 4 and verse number 1, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." This situation that Daniel is dealing with here in Daniel chapter number 2 is a very serious situation. Remember what's at stake? His life. Nebuchadnezzar had already issued the command, "Go gather them all up. They're all going to be put to death. They've not told me the dream. They've not told me the interpretation." What would you do? How would you respond? We see that Daniel, he responds, and he responds in wisdom and confidence. He responds in prayer. I'm mindful of the psalm that we looked at a few evenings ago in Psalm 34. What a great passage of Scripture. I love Psalm 34. It's the Lord has used it to encourage my heart so many times in my life. And I'm mindful of the way in which the Bible speaks there of David sharing his own personal testimony that this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, delivered him out of all of his troubles. See, I mentioned when we studied Psalm 34 that there was the experience of the psalmist there in verse number 6 of Psalm 34. But there wasn't just the experience of the psalmist. There was the expectation of the righteous. See, because David said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles," in verse number 6. But in verse number 17, the Bible says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all his troubles." See, Daniel believed it. David preceded Daniel by many, many, many years. The book of Psalms, and many of course, as we think about the book of Psalms, they were often songs that would be sung by the children of Israel. And you find that that here is David would pen the words of this psalm. Perhaps Daniel was familiar with Psalm 34 as we've noted it in our Bibles, and perhaps Daniel had understood the experience of the psalmist and the expectation of the righteous, and in a situation such as this, he calls out to God in prayer. See, Daniel's prayer life was serious. And that's why we see that his immediate response is to seek the face of God, to go to God in prayer. Not only do we notice how Daniel responds, number two, if you're taking notes, don't get worried. I only have 2 points this morning. Number two, if you're taking notes, notice how Daniel rejoices. We see how Daniel prays. The Bible says that an immediate response. He goes to his house. He gets Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They get together and they seek mercies. They desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. And we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Isn't that precious? Our God answers prayer. I mentioned already that the situation in which Daniel was faced with, the situation in which Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah were faced with, this was a time in which they needed God to answer urgently. There was no time for delay. The king had already issued the decree. I'm thankful that our God hears and answers prayer. I'm thankful that He works. And it's mindful of me when David had made the request to go and to build the temple. And the prophet says, go and do all that is within thine heart. But that same night, the Lord appeared to the prophet and said, no, it's not for David to build. Go and give David this message. And I'm thankful for the obedience of the prophet. It's interesting to me that the psalmist records for us several examples in which he's praying and needs an urgent response to his prayer. You ever found yourself in that situation? You need an answer from God and you need it urgently. Can I tell you that God knows that? He's aware of that. Oh, there are times in our lives where we need to wait on the Lord because it's not the right time, and we patiently endure and we fervently pray and seek the face of God. But there are times in which we need God to answer, and we need Him to answer right now. The psalmist says this in Psalm 38 in verses 21 and 22, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. In Psalm 40, in verse number 13, it says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Again, in Psalm 70, there are several examples. I just have three that I noted this morning to share with you. In Psalm 70, in verse number 1, the Bible says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. I'm thankful, as the psalmist has revealed to us in Psalm 46 in verse number 1, that God is our refuge and He is our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Oh, Daniel and his friends were in trouble. They respond. Daniel, we see, he responds with wisdom, confidence, and he responds in prayer. We find that now he begins to rejoice. Why? Because the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine as Daniel and his friends faithfully sought the face of God? I believe that this was a fervent prayer meeting. This was not some little simple, let's pray together and maybe some memorized kind of thing. No, this was a pouring out your heart to God, seeking God. Genuine, heartfelt, fervent prayer. Reminds me of the way in which Hannah prays in the book of 1 Samuel. Remember when she's praying and Eli observes and Eli thinks that she's been intoxicated and she says, no, I got a heavy heart. She's pouring out her heart to God. Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, they pray, and we notice how they rejoice. See, the answer is received. Aren't you glad that our God answers prayer? He answers prayer. And can I tell you this evening or this morning that when our God answers prayer, we must praise Him. We must rejoice. We must thank God for what He does. Notice that when the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, notice how he rejoices. The Bible says, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Notice how he continues. I mean, in verses 20 through 23, we find the record of Daniel rejoicing. He immediately goes to God in prayer, and when God answers, he immediately glorifies the Lord. We must not forget to praise our God when He answers prayer. We find that in verse number 20, notice how Daniel recognizes that wisdom and might belong to the Lord. It says in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. You need wisdom? You better pray to God. See, we need in this hour, in our situation, our situation is much different than what Daniel faced. But can I tell you that as we notice the way in which Daniel responds, that we ought to be responding in like manner. We ought to be seeking the face of God. God, we need you to work. This idea of the American ingenuity and the intelligence and all of these things, no, we need God. We find here that Daniel understands that wisdom and might are his. Notice in verse 21 how he notices, he recognizes the sovereignty of God. It says in verse 21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I am thankful that our God is sovereign. We've mentioned a few times over the last several weeks how that many in our nation and our world could not see the things coming that we're currently experiencing. But God is sovereign. God is eternal. God is omniscient. We find that here Daniel acknowledges that it's God that changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. You understand that our God is sovereign, that He rules and He reigns. I'm so thankful. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. He's in control. That ought to cause us to rejoice this morning. Verse 22, notice how he mentions that, yes, in verse number 20, that wisdom and might are his, that they belong to God. We find in verse number 21 that it's God who gives wisdom and strength. He revealeth, notice in verse 22, the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I've already mentioned James 1 in verse number 5. But oh, how we as God's people need to seek God's face, and we need to plead with God to give us wisdom and understanding. It belongs to Him. The wisdom and might are His, according to verse number 20. But we find that He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. The light dwelleth with Him. We find that as we get into the Word of God, that God helps us to understand the times. He helps us to understand those things that we're dealing with. He helps us to have great confidence in what He is doing and how He is working. See, I believe this morning that our God is always at work. There are times in which we deal with adversity and we deal with opposition and we say, where is God? Sometimes we find that even the psalmist, he says, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me? Forever? See, God's not forgotten us. God's not far from us, but God's at work. I've often referenced, and please forgive me for repeating it often during these days, and I've referenced already at least on one occasion the truth from John chapter number 11. When Jesus tarried, He did not go to be with Lazarus when he was sick. Why? Because He was working. He was at work. He's going to prove something greater than what any of them believed. What did they believe? They believed if He had been here, my brother would not die. Jesus, if you just would have come, you could have prevented this. He said, I'm going to do greater works. I'm going to do greater works. I'm going to help you to believe that I'm able to do even beyond what you think. See, they had witnessed God heal. They had witnessed the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. They had witnessed the blind man being healed. They had witnessed the lame man walking. They had witnessed the sick healed. They'd witnessed those things. But now, after 4 days, they would witness Lazarus coming forth out of the grave. Take off his grave clothes. Isn't that awesome? See, he was revealing what he's capable of doing. Our God is omnipotent and he reigns. Notice verse 23. What a powerful verse of praise for answered prayer. Notice what Daniel says. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. See, when you pray specifically, you'll find that God answers prayer specifically. Daniel prayed specifically with regard to the matter that was at hand. And we find that then Daniel praises the Lord. He takes that time. You notice it's imperative that we understand this, that in verse number 19, it does not say, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then he went to Arioch, and he went to Nebuchadnezzar to reveal the thing. No, the Bible records for us specifically the way in which Daniel rejoices in the time spent in praising God for answered prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. See, we're to thank God when He answers prayer. We don't just expect God to answer prayer, though we do because we know that He hears and answers prayer, but we ought to pause and rejoice when God does answer prayer. You know, it's an amazing thing when we see God answer specific prayer. And we notice how that Daniel says specifically how he's praising God for the specific answer that he's given. Oh, Daniel will go in the next text of Scripture, and he will stand before Nebuchadnezzar, and he'll provide the interpretation. What a blessing it is. And perhaps we'll look at this passage next week in Daniel 2 and continue on. But we find that here in the section of this passage that is before us this morning, we find that he understands that God had given him wisdom. He says that you've given me wisdom and might. Can I tell you this? That God did not give Daniel an answer so that Daniel could be exalted, so that Daniel could be elevated. No, God gave Daniel the wisdom and the might and the answer so that God would be glorified. We find that that's exactly what Daniel says when Daniel stands before Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that it was the Chaldeans back in verse number 10 that said there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. But it was Daniel when he stood before Nebuchadnezzar in verse number 8 that says there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. We find that it was there with Joseph in the book of Genesis when the butler and the baker, they come and they have those dreams, and man, they're downcasted. They're disappointed because there's no one to interpret the dream. And Joseph says, tell me the dream, and he interprets. We find that just a little while later, that it was, it was two full years that he had been forgotten by the butler. We find that the butler then remembers at the time in which Pharaoh has a dream. There was no man that could interpret. We find that when he calls for Joseph with haste, because the butler had remembered that there was one in prison that could interpret dreams, and he interpreted my dream, and he interpreted the baker's dream, and they both came to pass, and we need to get him. You know, it's interesting that Pharaoh has this understanding that Joseph could interpret dreams, but Joseph is quick to make it known that it's God that gives the interpretation. See, God is always working. We find that one of His purposes is that He would be glorified and exalted. I'm anxious to see how God can be glorified in these days as we seek His face in prayer and we see how He will work and what He will do and how it will give us opportunity to exalt and magnify the Lord. I want to finish with this verse from the book of Psalms, in Psalm 50 and verse number 15. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. In Psalm 50 and verse number 15, I want you to notice what is said here. In Psalm 50 and verse 15, the Bible says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Can I ask you this morning, does it not fit to a T, Daniel 2 verses 1 through 23? Daniel was facing a day of trouble. God said, call on me in the day of trouble. Is that not what Daniel did? How did he respond? Oh, he responded with wisdom. I'm thankful for. He responded with confidence, not in himself, but in God. He responded in prayer. We find that the truth of Psalm 50 and verse 15 is so adequately played out in the life of Daniel in Daniel 2, 1 through 23. Because Daniel followed the admonition, he called upon the Lord in the day of trouble. We find that God gives us this truth, I will deliver thee. Is that not what God did? Provide an answer. And then it says this, and thou shalt glorify me. Is that not what Daniel did? The answer came and Daniel rejoices. in verses 19 through 23, we read those few verses of Scripture and how they exalt and magnify the Lord God of heaven, our God, and how we rejoice in the fact this morning that our God answers prayer. I'm so thankful for the promises that we have. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to read in Scripture those that sought the face of God in prayer and to see how God answered. I'm so thankful in my own life when I've had the opportunity to see God answer prayer in my life specifically. And oh, how we must respond to the day of adversity in prayer. Our first response, not our last resort, our first response ought to be to seek the face of God. God, this is absolutely beyond my control. This is something in which, God, we need you to work. By the way, everything's out of our control. We need God. Every day we need God. God, would you help me? Would you guide me and direct me? God, would you work in such a way that I would be developed and that you would be glorified? Pray specifically. And then when God answers, praise Him. Rejoice in answered prayer. Testify of God's goodness. Let me tell you how God worked and what God did. And oh, it'll increase your faith. Our God answers prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to study this portion of Scripture in Daniel 2. And though the particular setting and situation, the circumstances that Daniel's facing are quite different than that which we're facing. In fact, I would say this morning that he was facing a much more difficult situation. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had already issued a decree that all the wise men would be put to death. Daniel finds out about the situation. Immediately gathers his friends, goes to God in prayer, knowing, God, that you answer, having the expectation, the assurance that you would give an answer, because wisdom lieth with thee. And the answer came. And oh, what a wonderful, wonderful moment that was in their lives. I'm thankful that the text of Scripture records for us how they rejoiced, how they exalted your name. God, I pray that in our current situation, God, that we would learn this valuable lesson. And God, I pray that it would not just be a situation when we're dealing with something as big, if I could use that word, as this. But God, that we'd understand that every day we need to set our face upon Thee and seek Your face in prayer. Because we need You. I pray that we'd recognize that. I pray that we'd recognize this morning that there's no trouble, no difficulty that's outside of Your control. God, that we'd have that consistent, constant walk with You. Thank you that you hear and answer prayer. I pray that you'd bless our time, Lord, not only here as we have a moment of invitation, but God, I pray for those at home or wherever they may be, that God, they would seek your face. They will allow the truth of Daniel 2 to permeate their minds and their hearts. That we'd determine to seek you, knowing that our God answers prayer. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.